Welcome to It's a New Day on 1180 WFYL. Mike Levins here with you.
I'm Susan Locke. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Go ahead, join us on the conversation. 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK, or 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. Icy roads this morning. Got some more winter weather. It looks like for the next 2 days are going to be really hammering us out here.
The temperature was right at 32 and then 33 as I was driving in. I don't know how it was for you, Michael, but it's still a little treacherous. People need to take it easy. I want to give a shout out and voice appreciation to the road crews for the work they're doing keeping the roads salted. We appreciate it so much.
And actually, you know, I was on the way, and maybe their work is going to be a little lessened. My car thermometer was actually saying about 37. Oh, so good. I was like, really?
It's rising quickly.
Yeah, so all this snow that we've had is going to melt and is going to just, I guess, create a torrent for us out there on the roads. But be careful on those roads out there this morning. Everyone is trying to get to work and get to work fast, so just be safe. A lot of news developing. Of course, we had the speech from Benjamin Netanyahu slamming the president yesterday. Not necessarily, he did not slam him, maybe that's the wrong word, but he definitely let him know that this was not the right plan for Iran, and that he actually suggested another one. Now, the president said in response that he would like Mr. Netanyahu to present a plan as an alternative to the one being talked about, and I listened to the whole speech. And I have to be honest that he definitely presented another plan. He actually lined it out. He said he outlined why the first two, why the main 2 points of President Obama's plan would not work. He lined that out and then suggested that in response to those two concessions, really, to Iran, what should be done. Talking about the number of centrifuges that would be left spinning in the first element of the plan that is presented right now, quote from Netanyahu, would leave a vast nuclear infrastructure, providing it with a short breakout time to the bomb. Not a single nuclear facility would be demolished. Now, note, this is from Netanyahu's speech, which we will play for you later in the program. Centrifuges would be left spinning. Some would be disconnected, but not enough. It would leave, and the president has said this too, about a year breakout time, or according to the president, perhaps over a year, time it would take, and breakout time is time it would take to amass enough uranium or plutonium to actually create a nuclear weapon. Iran is working on advanced centrifuges, and all these points I'm talking about come directly from Netanyahu's speech. That would shorten the breakout time. Certain restrictions would be imposed, supervised by international inspectors. Of course, though, we know that those same restrictions were imposed on North Korea, and they were able to secure nuclear weapons by simply saying, we don't want you here. Go ahead, get out. It's nice to have inspectors. It's really not nice to have inspectors that can't do anything. So that is going to be the same, and really it's a failed policy because it was used with North Korea and did not work. Within 5 years, North Korea could have an arsenal of 100 nuclear bombs, by the way. And that was, again, from Netanyahu's speech. He kind of used North Korea as a little bit of a case. Iran has had a history of hiding nuclear facilities. Former head of inspections at the IAEA stated in 2013, quote, if there's no undeclared installation today in Iran, it'll be the first time in 20 years that it doesn't have one. And that was, again, another quote directly from Netanyahu's speech. So he really builds a case as to why this plan is not going to work and basically hints at what needs to be done. There needs to be stronger regulations. There needs to be a real hit to Iran's infrastructure so that they are not, because the administration, the Obama administration, has said and agreed that they do not want Iran to secure nuclear weapons. But at the same time, they're leaving them all the infrastructure and capabilities to be able to do just that with this plan. And that's why Netanyahu speaks out so passionately about it. Susan, what are your thoughts on the Netanyahu speech? I heard that you listened to it a little bit on one of our programs that we air here on 1180 WFYL.
Laura Ingraham played it live yesterday morning, and I heard it on the replay last night. Yes, it was very compelling. His speech was very compelling. I think that anyone who heard it would have to agree.
And he was very passionate, don't you think?
Absolutely, yes. He knows what he's talking about. It's about survival for them. He's speaking the truth from his point of view, and it's very compelling.
Yeah, and actually, because the president and many others have claimed that this is a political theater stunt that Netanyahu is pulling. I have to say, and it doesn't come across that way at all because of all the... Because here's the thing. Why would... We talked yesterday about how Israel needs the United States. They need them to be on board with keeping Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. Why would Netanyahu then try to... So, and by the way, he actually complimented the president in his speech for, as he put it, being supportive not only publicly,
yes,
but privately.
Yes, he did.
So he actually took time out to specifically point that out in the beginning of his speech.
Right.
So they know that they need the support of America in this. They know, and Netanyahu knows that. Why would he then come out to Congress and speak not on the president's blessing, so-called, and jeopardize those relations? Has anyone thought that possibly it is that he is very concerned about the safety of his country, of which we could probably all agree Iran has been extremely hostile to?
That's true. Very hostile. And I think if you look back, it's not what people say so much as what they do. If you look back at the actions of Iran, that's what really matters. I keep thinking about Pastor Saeed. Saw a program recently of Jay Sekulow on television, had Pastor Saeed's wife and two children. There was a march in Washington a while back on the anniversary of his imprisonment, and Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham, was there with them also. Just the way they have imprisoned him and tortured him and refused to negotiate or just to release him, that's just one example of inhumane things that Iran is doing.
And clearly, and Netanyahu pointed this out in his speech as well, that Iran was kind of born, and he cited Ayatollah Khomeini, was born in this hostile attitude toward, and that is really based in militant Islam. He also made that very clear, that the problem with Iran is their base of militant Islam. Again, emphasis on militant.
That's
because
right.
He actually laid out, and this is contradictory to what the president said, well, basically saying that if Netanyahu was able to come up with an alternative, then I'd love to hear it. The president basically said, well, this is the only plan on the table right now. And this is the only plan that's going to work. Netanyahu didn't suggest anything, so this is the only one that's going to avert a nuclear armed Iran. Netanyahu actually lined up 3 points. And here's the first one. And he goes right for the throat. We could get into centrifuges and things like this, but I think Netanyahu touched on a deeper issue in his points. First, stop aggression against the neighbors in the Middle East.
Yes.
And he cited Iran supporting many of the terrorist activities happening that are actually overthrowing established governments in the Middle East at present, whether or not those governments are legitimate or whether or not they are not dictatorships, essentially. That's beside the point. It is some form of aggression that Iran is using for their own purposes. People get mad at the United States meddling over in the Middle East. I would say we meddle in the Middle East because we have to sometimes, and because their effects, their different news and events and their culture actively affect our news, our events, our culture. So his first point was stop aggression against neighbors in the Middle East. Second was stop supporting terrorism around the world. I think that's reasonable. How about you, Susan?
Definitely.
You can't. How can you negotiate with someone when they're stabbing your friend in the back? They're stabbing you in the back. Over here, it's like coming up to you and saying, hi, yes, I'd love to go ahead and create this deal with you. I'd love to go ahead and create some diplomatic solution to our problem here. Oh, by the way, I'm just going to go ahead and kill a bunch of your soldiers over here. Don't worry about it. Really, it's fine. You can't really negotiate that way. Third, and this is the most powerful point. Now, some people may think, well, this isn't realistic diplomatically. If it's not realistic diplomatically, then what is? Third was stop threatening to annihilate my country, Israel, the one and only Jewish state.
Right.
Netanyahu is not, and he was very passionate when he said that. That was a quote. Stop threatening to annihilate my country, Israel, the one and only Jewish state. He was very passionate about it. And he needs to be. Why else would he be appealing to Congress and the president to not let this deal go through? Because he knows the consequences. And there's more to his speech. We want to actually play some of that speech for you this morning so that you could hear. And we've got some great interviews. We've got Sheriff of Montgomery County coming in. We've got Nancy Becker, your recorder of deeds here in Montgomery County, who's going to be in with us this morning. Got a great program. Be careful on those roads. Go ahead and call in 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180 or 610-539-TALK. 610-539-TALK. We'll be back in just a little bit.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. The courageous stance and eloquent words of a 70-year-old grandmother from Washington State should stir our hearts and spur us to action in defense of our First Amendment rights to freedom of religion and freedom of speech. Florist Baronelle Stutzman was found guilty of violating state law when she chose not to participate in a same-sex wedding ceremony for one of her longtime customers. The penalties and fines could result in her financial and personal ruin, but the state attorney general offered to essentially let her off the hook if she just promised to provide flowers for such weddings in the future or not do any weddings at all. You can see her bold and courageous response on our website at pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family. Preserve the future. We depend on your prayers and financial support. To donate, log on to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
The 2015 Christian Business Guide covering Bucks and Montgomery counties is now underway for our 32nd annual directory. At least 85,000 copies are due for delivery, along with www.cbg-pa.com at no extra charge. Our 2014 advertisers can be found online for added exposure. Find us on Facebook at Christian Business Guide-Bucksmont for news, updates, prayer requests, and praise reports. To get your free copy of the Christian Business Guide or to advertise in Bucks and Montgomery counties in Pennsylvania in the Bucksmont directory, call now. 215-816-8998. That's 215-816-8998. Find a brother or sister in the Lord to provide that product or service. Get the original Christian Yellow Page directory. Go to www.cbg-pa.com or call 215-816-8998.
A new day. All right, so we got a lot going on for you this morning, talking about Netanyahu's speech. Netanyahu calling it fateful, even historic. I have a feeling that Netanyahu knows something that we don't know. A lot of people are saying that this speech, I'm looking at a headline from the New York Times, an online article, Mr. Netanyahu's unconvincing speech to Congress. I don't know what was unconvincing about it. I think as Americans, we could take for granted being across the ocean away from all these different issues here. Go ahead, call in, let your opinion be heard. 610-539-TALK. That's 610-539-TALK. You could also call in at 1-877-667-1180. 1-877-667-1180. A little bit of ice out there on the roads, although the temperature's heating up, so hopefully that ice won't be around for long. We'll see what happens with that. So we're going to be getting up in just a moment, hopefully, here. We'll go ahead and be getting part of the speech, part of Netanyahu's speech to Congress to be able to play. And it really was a passionate speech by Mr. Netanyahu. We were talking about how Congress was let me go ahead and let the New York Times say it for you. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel could not have hoped for a more rapturous welcome in Congress. And that's exactly what it was. They were very, very happy to see him. And they cheered him on in a lot of instances. They cheered him on in a lot of things that he honestly said would be reasonable concessions in the plan. For example, to stop terrorist activities around the Middle East, to go ahead and stop threatening the country of Israel. Quote, stop threatening to annihilate my country Israel, the one and only Jewish state. This is also another quote. If Iran wants to be treated like a normal country, let it act like a normal country. That was a great quote. Mm-hmm. I absolutely loved that quote. He wants a better deal put on the table. These are some of my notes that I took actually listening to the speech, especially given the recent collapse of the price of oil, because that is so integral to Middle Eastern economies, perhaps looking at that as a bit of leverage. Netanyahu suggests call their bluff. He actually cited their culture being linked to the Persian Empire.
Yes.
Way back in the day, the ancient Persian Empire, but that being their culture and saying, this is not a quote, but basically saying that when you deal with Persian traders, you need to call their bluff. So he said, call their bluff. If they reject the deal, because they'll be back. And he made a very important point. They need you. And this is absolutely right. They do need us. I don't understand why we are conceding so much to Iran, a state that is so hostile to not only Israel, but to the United States. I don't know why we're conceding so much to when we are in the position of power and leverage over them. They have not earned any kind of good treatment, I don't think, by their track record. Can someone point to me and show me, well, they've done this for women's rights, or they've done this for voting rights, or they've done this for, I don't know, advocating against terrorism?
Right.
They seem to really like it. I wonder why. Maybe because they're financing it. It's a bad deal. It's a very bad deal. We're better off without it. He goes and makes his voice heard on what he thinks of this deal. Netanyahu just does not stop. And he wanted to, and it was a great public stage to do it, Congress. The only alternative, he suggests some people may say, to this bad deal is war. And he pointed out the obvious. That's not true. The alternative to this deal is a much better deal. And he made a couple of very interesting quotes near the end of his speech. Iran, whose unbridled aggression will inevitably lead to war. He already sees what's going to be happening. He sees it. He's trying to wake up the United States. We're lucky we don't have to deal with the direct consequences. Some would argue we absolutely do, and I actually think that we do deal with a lot of the direct consequences, but they're not on the same continent as we are. We kind of have the luxury of the Atlantic Ocean to separate us. Israel doesn't have that. And then he made another quote, two quotes actually, which I think were notices to the world of Israel and their plan. The days when the Jewish people remained passive in the face of genocidal enemies, those days are over. That's a very powerful quote. What do you think, Susan?
I agree with you. And there are so many historical precedents, but I think it's important to remember history. We talk about it so often on this station. You have to know history, or it will be repeated. You cannot appease and concede to terrorism and bullying, actually, and violence and these sorts of tactics. It took a lot of courage for him to come here and ask.
Especially in the face of the president. And I don't think the president had to take it the way that he did. He said, well, this is violating every precedent, and he completely circumvented the proper procedures, John Boehner, and inviting Netanyahu to speak to Congress.
That's true.
But the times in the world are so much to where I think most people sit there and say, grow up.
Yeah, Laura Ingraham made a good point about that. She said, she kind of chuckled and said, it would have been so much better if the president had just said, well, you know, I know we're not getting along right now, and I know you went around, but you're here, let's go ahead and talk, or something to try to work it out a little bit. But
because even with as much that Israel does not support this deal, he still tries to give every respect, every courtesy to not just America, but to the president.
Mm-hmm.
Even right. though they disagree so harshly.
Mm-hmm.
Another quote that Netanyahu made, and we've actually got some of the speech queued up for you here. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand. I think that should send shockwaves throughout the State Department. Because that's letting them know if Israel has to take military action, they will, I believe. He also did say right after that, he said, but I know that Israel does not stand alone. I know that America stands with Israel. And then everyone in Congress started to applause and cheer and right when he got to that point. I know that you stand with Israel. You stand with Israel because you know that the story of Israel is not only the story of the Jewish people, but of the human spirit that refuses again and again to succumb to history's horrors. At the end, he actually pointed out Moses in the Capitol Dome. And he left his message with a quote, and he actually quoted it in Hebrew directly. And this is our scripture for the day, Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and resolute, neither fear nor dread them. That was Moses' parting words to the Israelites as they were about to go into the promised land and about to go take the promised land. And I think that's a very timely message for our nation and for the nations of the world. Whether it's Russia, whether it's ISIS. And we were talking about Russia and the killing of Boris Nemtsov the other day, about how Putin is very linked to that. And it's funny how a lot of Putin's enemies just seem to be dying. Just saying. I think that's a very timely message for not only us as a nation, but for the whole world. Be strong and resolute, neither fear nor dread them. I'd like to dig into that scripture just a little bit. We've got a little bit more of the speech lined up for you right here after the break. You're on It's a New Day, at 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty and things that matter.
Thank you, Mr. President. Distinguished delegates.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Singing freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the freedom station. WFYL.
We're just going to play it.
I didn't have a chance to listen to it at all during the day, and it was on C-SPAN Live, but when I got into bed.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. Opening statements and the first testimony today in the Boston Marathon bombing trial.
A jury of 8 men and 10 women, that's 12 jurors and 6 alternates, will hear the case against Johar Tsarnaev. Tsarnaev is charged with 30 counts, 17 of which carry the possibility of the death penalty. 3 people were killed, more than 260 were hurt in the twin bombings at the marathon finish line.
Fox News Radio's Tanya J. Powers in Boston. A suspect in shootings along highways in the Baltimore and D.C. areas in custody. The shots damaged a National Security Agency building and a landscaping truck 12 miles away from there, injuring one worker with broken glass. Gary Cooper works for Nelson Trees.
Everyone's shocked because we're a small company, so we're like family.
The FBI has not identified the suspect or a possible motive. There have been 3 other shootings reported in the area in the last couple of weeks with no other injuries. Fox News, we report. You decide.
Private mortgage insurance, or PMI, can cost you thousands. The Quicken Loans PMI Advantage is our lender-paid mortgage insurance program. You see, we pay the PMI so you don't have to. PMI Advantage can give you more options, more flexibility, and may save you thousands when you refinance. To learn more, call us at 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN, or visit us at quickenloans.com.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. The courageous stance and eloquent words of a 70-year-old grandmother from Washington State should stir our hearts and spur us to action in defense of our First Amendment rights to freedom of religion and freedom of speech. Florist Baron L. Stutzman was found guilty of violating state law when she chose not to participate in a same-sex wedding ceremony for one of her longtime customers. The penalties and fines could result in her financial and personal ruin, but the state attorney general offered to essentially let her off the hook if she just promised to provide flowers for such weddings in the future or not do any weddings at all. You can see her bold and courageous response on our website at pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family. Preserve the future. We depend on your prayers and financial support. To donate, log on to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
March 4th was Inauguration Day up until 1937, when it was changed to January 20th. Every president acknowledged a supreme being in their inaugural address. Thomas Jefferson referred to that infinite power which rules the destinies of the universe. Andrew Jackson, my fervent prayer to that almighty being. Abraham Lincoln, the Almighty has his own purposes. FDR, we humbly ask the blessing of God. John F. Kennedy, the rights of man come not from the generosity of the state, but from the hand of God.
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
I come here from Jerusalem to speak on behalf of my people, the people of Israel. I've come here to speak about the dangers we face and about the opportunities we seek. I've come here to expose the brazen lies spoken from this very podium against my country and against the brave soldiers who defend it. Ladies and gentlemen, the people of Israel pray for peace. But our hopes and the world's hope for peace are in danger. Because everywhere we look, militant Islam is on the march. It's not militants. It's not Islam. It's militant Islam. And typically, its first victims are other Muslims, but it spares no one.
And that was Benjamin Netanyahu actually last year at the UN. So when he talks about lies spoken from this very podium, he's referring to Iran, he's referring to many other countries, and you could see that he directly attributes the march to militant Islam, or the march of militant Islam, as one of the major issues facing
That's
our world today.
Very good background.
And
on the speech yesterday.
And he didn't pull any punches then. He doesn't pull any punches now. He is very, very passionate about what he believes. And he needs to be, because it's actually his country that we are talking about after all. It is the safety of his country. And he's prime minister. It's his job to ensure the security. Is this purely a political stunt? I don't think so, because of all of the diplomatic stances that are at stake here. his diplomatic stance with the United States, tensions there, and him needing the United States to be on his side in this, him needing the United States to offer aid and support in this, because he knows if the United States is not involved in any of this process, then any plan is just going to result in further bickering, as has always happened between Middle Eastern nations, whether it's his nation with the Palestinians or his nation with Iran. It's just going to result in no solutions. No solutions, and everyone's going to go back to the way that they did things. And he knows that the only real way to address this dictatorship is with force. And it's plain and simple. Let's go ahead. I've got a little bit of the speech here for you. Let's play a little bit. This was his speech to Congress.
John Boehner, President Pro Tem, Senator Orrin Hatch, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, and House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy. I also want to acknowledge Senator Democratic Leader Harry Reid. Harry, it's good to see you back on your feet.
So after we get past all the ados and all the introductions, which I think is very important because he goes out and does all the politicking, but he wants to even acknowledge and thank those who stand against this. Let's go ahead and get past this here. Here we go.
Has been the subject of much controversy. I deeply regret that some perceive my being here as political. That was never my intention. I want to thank you, Democrats and Republicans, for your common support for Israel, year after year, decade after decade. You stand with Israel. The remarkable alliance between Israel and the United States has always been above politics. It must always remain above politics. Because America and Israel, we share a common destiny, the destiny of promised lands that cherish freedom and offer hope. Israel is grateful for the support of America's people and of America's presidents, from Harry Truman to Barack Obama. We appreciate all that President Obama has done for Israel. Now, some of that is widely known. Some of that is widely known, like strengthening security cooperation and intelligence sharing, opposing anti-Israeli resolutions at the UN. Some of what the president has done for Israel is less well known. I called him in 2010 when we had the Carmel forest fire, and he immediately agreed to respond to my request for urgent aid. In 2011, we had our embassy in Cairo under siege. And again, he provided vital assistance at the crucial moment. Or his support for more missile interceptors during our operation last summer when we took on Hamas terrorists. In each of those moments, I called the president, and he was there. And some of what the president has done for Israel might never be known, because it touches on some of the most sensitive and strategic issues that arise between an American president and an Israeli prime minister. But I know it, and I will always be grateful to President Obama for that support. And Israel is grateful to you, the American Congress, for your support, for supporting us in so many ways, especially in generous military assistance and missile defense, including Iron Dome. From thousands of Hamas rockets, because this Capitol Dome helped build our Iron Dome. Thank you, America. Thank you for everything you've done for Israel. My friends, I've come here today because as Prime Minister of Israel, I feel a profound obligation to speak to you about an issue that could well threaten the survival of my country and the future of my people: Iran's quest for nuclear weapons. We're an ancient people. In our nearly 4,000 years of history, many have tried repeatedly to destroy the Jewish people. Tomorrow night, on the Jewish holiday of Purim, we'll read the book of Esther. We'll read of a powerful Persian viceroy named Haman, who plotted to destroy the Jewish people some 2,500 years ago. But a courageous Jewish woman, Queen Esther, exposed the plot and gained for the Jewish people the right to defend themselves against their enemies. The plot was foiled. Our people were saved. Today, the Jewish people face another attempt by yet another Persian potentate to destroy us. Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, Iran's supreme leader, Ayatollah Khamenei, spews the oldest hatred of anti-Semitism with the newest technology. He tweets that Israel must be annihilated. He tweets. You know, in Iran, there isn't exactly free internet. But he tweets in English that Israel must be destroyed. For those who believe that Iran threatens the Jewish state, but not the Jewish people, listen to Hassan Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah, Iran's chief terrorist proxy. He said, "If all the Jews gather in Israel, it will save us the trouble of chasing them down around the world."
So that was just a little bit. That was the first part of Benjamin Netanyahu's speech. Why are we giving more credence to Iran than to Israel? Can anyone give me a good suggestion for that? 610-539-TALK, 610-539-TALK. We're going to come back at just a little bit with a little bit more of this speech. See how much he just thanked the president and thanked America, but specifically the president, for doing things behind the scenes. He needs our help, and I think we need to get that message. We'll be back in just a little bit.
Hi, it's Roger Hedgecock. Join me live each day from 6 to 9 p.m. here on 1180 AM WFYL. You can call in or you can stream my program on 1180WFYL.com from midnight to 3 a.m. That's the Roger Hedgecock Show here in the Cradle of Liberty, Valley Forge in Philadelphia on 1180 WFYL, working for your liberty.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? But the only part we're reading in 8th grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people, didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians Against Common Core brought you this message. Go to nopacommoncore.com or call 484-678-2236.
First Thursday of each month from 6 to 8 p.m. is Thrifty Thursdays at Homeworks Premium Thrift, and it's the place to be. Please come join us. Browse our 12,000 square foot store for gently used items of all kinds, apparel, household items, books, furniture, and appliances. We offer free pickup for large loads, appliances, and furniture. Have a question about life or need prayer? Ask us. We'll be glad to talk or pray with you. We are located in Douglasville on Route 422, and we are open until 8 p.m. every first Thursday. Visit us at homeworkspremiumthrift.org and on Facebook. Looking forward to seeing you.
Hi, I'm Scott Newcomer with Christian Businessmen's Connection, CBMC. Are you a Christian businessman? Do you feel like an ambassador in your workplace? In 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Apostle Paul tells us that Christ followers are ambassadors for Christ. So do you feel like one? Do you know how to walk like one? If you'd like to learn more about how to be a marketplace ambassador, walking daily in intimacy with God, how to be discipled or disciple others, how to share your faith simply in the marketplace, how to apply biblical principles to your life, and how to have a group of like-minded Christian businessmen around you to encourage you, basically to be the man God designed you to be, right where you work, right where God has you, contact us at CBMC and get connected. Just go to cbmc.com or call me, Scott Newcomer, at 610-304-1493. That's 610-304-1493.
Call in at 610-529-TALK, 610-539-TALK.
To understand just how dangerous Iran would be with nuclear weapons, we must fully understand the nature of the regime. The people of Iran are very talented people. They're heirs to one of the world's great civilizations. But in 1979, they were hijacked by religious zealots. Religious zealots who imposed on them immediately a dark and brutal dictatorship. That year, the zealots drafted a constitution, a new one for Iran. It directed the Revolutionary Guards not only to protect Iran's borders, but also to fulfill the ideological mission of jihad. The regime's founder, Ayatollah Khomeini, exhorted his followers to export the revolution throughout the world. I'm standing here in Washington, D.C., and the difference is so stark. America's founding document promises life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Iran's founding document pledges death, tyranny, and the pursuit of jihad. And as states are collapsing across the Middle East, Iran is charging into the void to do just that. Iran's goons in Gaza, its lackeys in Lebanon, its revolutionary guards on the Golan Heights are clutching Israel with three tentacles of terror. Backed by Iran, Assad is slaughtering Syrians. Backed by Iran, Shiite militias are rampaging through Iraq. Backed by Iran, Houthis are seizing control of Yemen, threatening the strategic straits at the mouth of the Red Sea. Along with the Straits of Hormuz, that would give Iran a second choke point on the world's oil supply. Just last week, near Hormuz, Iran carried out a military exercise, blowing up a Mach U.S. aircraft carrier. That's just last week, while they're having nuclear talks with the United States. But unfortunately, for the last 36 years, Iran's attacks against the United States have been anything but mock, and the targets have been all too real. Iran took dozens of Americans hostage in Tehran, murdered hundreds of American soldiers, Marines, in Beirut, and was responsible for killing and maiming thousands of American servicemen and women in Iraq and Afghanistan. Beyond the Middle East, Iran attacks America and its allies through its global terror network. It blew up the Jewish Community Center and the Israeli embassy in Buenos Aires. It helped al-Qaeda bomb U.S. embassies in Africa. It even attempted to assassinate the Saudi ambassador right here in Washington, D.C. In the Middle East, Iran now dominates four Arab capitals, Baghdad, Damascus, Beirut, and Sana'a. And if Iran's aggression is left unchecked, more will surely follow. So at a time when many hope that Iran will join the community of nations, Iran is busy gobbling up the nations. We must all stand together to stop Iran's march of conquest, subjugation, and terror. Now, 2 years ago, we were told to give President Rouhani and Foreign Minister Zarif a chance to bring change and moderation to Iran. Some change, some moderation. Rouhani's government hangs gays, persecutes Christians, jails journalists, and executes even more prisoners than before. Last year, the same Zarif, who charms Western diplomats, laid a wreath at the grave of Imad Mournia. Imad Mournia is the terrorist mastermind who spilled more American blood than any other terrorist besides Osama bin Laden.
So that's just a little bit more from the speech that Benjamin Netanyahu gave to Congress yesterday, making a dire case. He calls the speech historic. Fateful, of course, he was referring to the bombing of Beirut in 1983, where French and American servicemen were killed, 299 of them. He attributes that to Iran, making a last appeal, as if it were. If anyone, he possibly may even be trying to just appeal to Congress. Because Congress seems to be very supportive of him. It's funny, they cheer on some things, but then they, on other things, though, if you look, as with anything in Congress, you'll see some people clapping, you'll see other people shaking their head, voicing their disbelief, because they all know the cameras are on, and they all want to make sure that they are down for the record as I support this or no, I don't support this. But making a dire case. Apparently, we live in a nation where our enemies get more credence than our allies. And, Susan, I want to go over to you for a second. We were talking a little bit off the air. A lot of people have, from time to time, made the comparison of, you know, World War II, Hitler. They've kind of made the comparison to Russia, to what's happening. Now, that's maybe legitimate, maybe not. Only history will tell. That may be a little bit overstepping the times a bit, but you said something to that effect regarding Iran off air. Go ahead, share that with us.
Well, it just brings to mind other times in history when there have been not the same circumstances, but similar circumstances. And before World War II, Neville Chamberlain was trying to work with Hitler. He was for appeasement. And as we all know, that did not work. And I remember the British people, especially Churchill, practically begging for the United States to intervene and to help. And we did send arms and so on. And some pilots went over to help with the air air war going on there in Britain. But
nothing really changed until the Americans got directly
involved.
That's
exactly right. And what's really coming to mind right now is this very famous quote from Niemöller back in 1952. It's a famous statement and provocative poem attributed to Pastor Martin Niemöller, who lived from 1892 to 1984, about the cowardice of German intellectuals following the Nazis' rise to power and the subsequent purging of their chosen targets group after group. There are variations on this, but basically he said, "First they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out, because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." Netanyahu referenced Queen Esther, who was born for such a time as this. Her uncle told her that. I think it's very important when we see things wrong, injustices, no matter where they might be, to at least speak out and not turn our back and just pretend that there's nothing wrong.
Right. And you know, the funny thing is, a lot of people, they'll sit there and we can they'll applaud and they'll cheer for Netanyahu and everything he says about Iran. I mean, because is Iran the next Germany? Probably, as right now stands, militarily, I don't think they're strong enough. Mm-hmm. But if they get a hold of nuclear weapons and enough of them, they may not be, in the conventional sense of the word, militarily as strong as Germany was in their day. But with the advent of new technology, which, as we've seen in popular culture, such as the advent of social media, tends to tip everything on its head. With the advent of technology, namely nuclear weapons, they could change how our world works. We're heading to a break here. Next break, we're actually going to have Sheriff of Montgomery County, and we'll have Nancy Becker, your recorder of deeds, on the air, asking a little bit about their practices in local government, how that matters. We'll be back.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180wfyl.com.